Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, and in just a few moments, I'll be joined by my co-host, Laura, and our special guest. If you didn't know, we're in the midst of a mini-series all about grief and motherhood. We're tackling some specific areas of grief in this series, and today, Jen Oshman is here to chat all about adoption. She shares a bit of her family's experience with international adoption, including some of the joys and sorrows throughout the process. Jen has been in women's ministry for over two decades as a missionary and pastor's wife on three continents. She's the mother of four daughters, including one through adoption, which you'll hear more about in this show, and she's the author of two books, Enough About Me and Cultural Counterfeits. If you want to learn more about Jen, head to our show notes. Just as a heads up, our kids were sick at home during this recording, so we were outside of our usual studio and the audio isn't as good as it typically is, but we still think you'll be able to catch everything. As a reminder, our guests are discussing the sorrows of motherhood in a very raw and transparent manner. We're so grateful that you're tuning into today's podcast, but we want to encourage you to exercise wisdom as you decide whether or not the content is the best fit for you in your current season. We hope and pray it's an encouragement to you, but remember that everyone's lives and situations are different. So please reach out to a trusted friend, mentor, counselor, or medical professional as needed. This episode is not meant to give personal advice or be a substitute for professional help. Next Monday, April 3rd, marks the beginning of Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Easter Sunday. If you're looking for ideas on how to talk to your kids about Holy Week, we have a free download in the resource library that provides a passage of scripture, application questions, and a brief lesson to share with your kids throughout the week as we look ahead to Easter Sunday. Head to risenmotherhood.com/library to get your copy. And finally, as you walk through your own questions on grief and motherhood, we hope you'll visit our series landing page, risenmotherhood.com/grief. This page includes books and articles, as well as a Spotify playlist curated by each of our interviewees in this series with songs that encourage them during their seasons of grief. Okay, let's jump into today's show.
Well, hey, Jen, welcome to the Risen Motherhood Podcast.
Oh, thanks, you guys. So good to be here.
Yes, we are thrilled to have you come and to talk with us and share your wisdom. For any of our listeners who might not be familiar with your work, can you just give us a brief 101, kind of give us the flyover about Jen?
Yeah, sure. So my husband and I have been married almost 24 years, and we finished seminary and headed to the mission field pretty much right after we got married. So we served overseas for a long time. We have four daughters, three by birth, one by adoption. We've been back in the U.S. for 7 years, and it's been a joy in that time. We've planted a church. I've written some books, done some podcasting and speaking. And so, sums it up. It's been a pretty global life full of ministry and daughters and joy.
We love that. And you mentioned right away that you have an adopted daughter in the mix. So can you give us an overview of her story? Tell us how adoption entered your life.
Sure. We do have kind of a unique adoption story. So before my husband and I had kids, when we were brand new married in our first year, our home church here in Colorado began was pursuing a relationship with a home in Thailand where our daughter was living. She lost both of her mom and dad when she was the age of four. And at the age of five, she went to go live in this home. And so her picture was on our refrigerator, and we exchanged letters and prayed for her from the time that she was five. Now we moved to Japan and began ministry there. And then we started taking teams from our church in Japan to Thailand, to the home where she lived. And so we began to know her and spend time with her once or twice or three times a year. So when she was nine, my husband took a team there. And then about a month later, I took a team there. And after those two trips, we came back to one another and said, you know, I really sense the Lord is saying, I want you to be her mom and dad. But that was much easier said than done. You know, for on the one hand, we realized that to pursue the adoption of a 9-year-old in Thailand by Americans when we were living in Japan would be very disruptive to her own life. And so we were seeking wisdom and prayer, and we decided that we would give it a try. And if the Lord's will be done, you know, keep walking through doors as he opened them. It took 3 years because of all the three country dynamics. And actually, as the Lord would have it, our daughter had to be involved in the process the whole time. And so we would go back and forth and be before various judges and lawyers and social workers. But finally, the Lord did bring it to pass 3 years later. And she was 12 when we brought her home, and our other girls were 2, 4, and 6. And she's now 25. So we've been her parents for 13 years now. And she herself is a mom. She made us grandparents about 3 years ago. And I just look at the hand of God and his mercy and redemptive work. We have a beautiful, strong relationship with her. She has endured tremendous loss in her life. But the Lord has been good to her and made her resilient and gracious. And she's just a joy. We're so very proud of her and grateful for what the Lord has done in our family.
That is just an incredible story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And it's amazing just to hear how resilient you guys were as you pursued her and your daughter as well, and just hearing about the Lord's hand and just orchestrating that sovereignly. You shared that the adoption process took about 3 years. And so can you walk us through a little bit about some of the griefs that an adoptive mom might experience? I'm sure that was not easy in that process. And I think for many of us, we feel like adoption goes quickly and it feels like a celebratory time. But we also know that there are a lot of hard things along the way. Can you just speak to some of those things?
Yes, I would love to encourage the adoptive mom who's listening, who's in the process. For many of us, it takes years and years, and it's just a very trying process. You know, you sense this call from God, you feel very strongly this is the right thing to do. Adoption is our Father's heart, you know, so it should happen quickly, right? Like, this is God's heart. It should happen quickly. But it rarely does. And when people question, you know, why did it take 3 years? That's crazy. I often remind them that there's laws on the books for good reasons. It's very good that as Americans, we could not enter Thailand and pick out a child and take her home. It's very good that there are laws, international laws in place that protect children. So I think that it's important for adoptive parents to remember the red tape is there for good reason. Now, sometimes it's not, obviously, I won't go down that path, but you know, adoption can be full of corruption as well, and corrupt governments and corrupt agencies. But for us, you know, we had to go before American, Japanese, and Thai social workers and lawyers and judges. And it was just an extremely difficult process. And the fact that our daughter was involved, you know, the Thai government required her consent and involvement the entire time. So every time we went to Thailand to sort of push the process forward and then returned home to Japan, I very much had to trust that the Lord would care for our not yet daughter. That he would meet her in her grief as she waited on us, and that he would meet us in our grief as we waited on him. I remember really poignantly one moment when we were speaking on the phone with our pastor back here in the United States, and he asked us, "Do you trust the Lord with her? Like, she is not yet your daughter. And, you know, are you willing to entrust her to the Lord if this does not come to pass?" And I feel like that was just such a shaping question for me, because it caused me to ask myself, you know, am I willing to entrust everything about her and our family and her future and our future to my God in heaven? Or do I see myself as necessary to her story? Am I subconsciously putting myself in the seat of God, where like, no, I have to rescue her. I have to sort of be her savior, which I know is like an ugly way to say it, but we have to come to terms with that way that we think sometimes. And so that was a good question. And so for the mom who's waiting right now, my encouragement is, you know, do you trust the Lord to be sovereign and good and true in your waiting child's life, even if he does not bring the adoption to come to pass? Because what's true is, our kids, all of our kids belong to the Lord, right? We are not the savior for any of our kids. So it's important that we trust the Lord with all of those details, all of the timing, that every piece of red tape is there with his permission and by his will, that we might grow in trust and that our kids might grow in trust, even in the darkness and the pain that is waiting.
That's so encouraging to think about God with us in the waiting and, you know, shifting gears a little bit, because I know the end of your waiting was the moment of adoption with your daughter. And that can be such a beautiful and joyful celebratory thing. I know that we've had the privilege of taking our children to 2 adoption hearings now in a courthouse for some good friends. And it is just overwhelmingly joyful to even see the adoptive parents give testimony and the things that they say and accepting the child into their family. And both of those were followed up by a really big party afterwards where the whole church came out. And those memories are just seared into my mind. But what's interesting is it's also brought up, at least for our kids, a lot of questions. It's like their next question is, but where are their biological parents and why is this adoption taking place? So could you speak to us a little bit about the tension there of the joy of the adoption, but also the sorrow of what it means that we live in a fallen world and that families, biological families, are not always kept, you know, together and united. So what is the grief and the sadness? Why is there sadness as part of this process?
I love that you're asking this question, because I think it's one that is sort of kept hush hush in our circles. You know, of course, God's heart is for adoption and his heart is to set the fatherless in families. And so when that happens, it is worthy of our rejoicing. The celebration is absolutely appropriate. And I love to see that. And that's the highlight and the beauty that we share on social media. And that's the good news that we want to share with others. But it really is a just small slice of the story, you know, and for the moms who are listening, what I want to share with you might be hard to hear. And I want to acknowledge that what we see online, what we see in movies, you know, every storyline, every movie that has an orphan in it, music, and even just in our own flesh and the way that we've been shaped by our culture, we just see sort of the happily ever after. We just see, you know, that this was beautiful and good and redemptive and nothing hard about it. So I appreciate you asking the question, because many times what we as adoptive moms hear and what our children hear is well-meaning people say things like, oh, you are so lucky. They say that to the child. You're so lucky that you've been adopted by this family. And that is just a really damaging thing to say. So first of all, don't say that. If you have said that in the past, maybe remove that from your repertoire of things that you say to adoptive families, because the fact that adoption exists points to the reality, as you said, Emily, of just brokenness in our world. In the adoption community, we talk frequently about the triad, the three. So if you picture a triangle, each corner of the triangle. The first corner is the birth family, the biological mom or the first family. The second is the adoptee. And the third is the adoptive family. And so we have to really be considering all three corners when it comes to adoption. And I think we have, unfortunately, for the most part, focused just on the adoptive family more than anything, and not the adoptee, as well as the first family or the biological mom. So it's important that we consider, you know, what has happened in the biological mom's life that has led to her inability to parent the baby that she grew in her womb, and acknowledge that grief and that loss and that sadness. And then knowing that that's a tremendous loss for the adoptee as well. More and more is coming out about separation and grief and trauma, but studies show that even babies who are adopted directly from the delivery room endure tremendous trauma. And it literally impacts their brain in ways that we're just beginning to understand. So while our adoption of a 12-year-old is sort of maybe extreme and unique, and you don't usually hear about that, the hard reality is that an adoption of a newborn baby is also hugely impactful on that child. So there is a ton of loss. And I can get into that more as the conversation goes on, but I guess I'll just stop here with saying that yes, it is worthy of celebrating. Every child deserves and needs a mother and a father who's unconditionally loving. But the fact that there is a child who needs that points to extreme brokenness in the birth mom's life, and then a lifetime of grief for the adoptee who lost his or her first family. We've got to hold both. Both are true, and it's okay to hold both in one hand. The joy and the grief, the sorrow, the reconciliation, the brokenness, the redemption, it's all part of the story.
I really appreciate just that example of the triad that you shared and wanting to honor all three parties involved. And you're right. I mean, even as someone kind of looking from the outside, it can be very easy to just focus on that one happy day, happy moment when the adoption is complete and it feels like this new family has been formed. And, you know, I'm just wondering here how, as an adoptive parent, as a mom who has just gone through an adoption, what does that look like to honor the grief that you mentioned your child is going to have for the rest of their life, and understandably so, and even the grief that you know is the reality, but also, like, you know, you have been given this new son or daughter, and it is truly beautiful. And so what does it look like to honor those things? I like how you talked about having them both in one hand, but how do we see that kind of practically play out?
I think it's crucial for adoptive parents to be really open and honest with their children from day one, and to just say what's true all the time. And what is true is that we can honor our children's birth families. You know, I know that children are separated from their first families for various reasons. And some feel like, to us, you know, horrific and unspeakable. And it's not that we should share like those kinds of details. What I'm getting at is that we should honor birth families where honor is due. And there is some measure of honor due to every birth family. And I would even argue probably pretty incredible honor if you understand and value the story of those first families and what they, as moms and dads, were born into themselves and what they're navigating themselves. I think just probably immeasurable honor is due them, even if, as the adoptive parent, you feel like there are some things that are just really horrifying to you. So I would say, speak what's true and give the honor, give the credit, give the glory to God for the life of the mom and dad, the life of this child that they chose to give life to. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can express gratitude and celebrate first families and biological moms, and that should be done from day one. And then at the same time, also acknowledging the loss, as we've already said, just the brokenness and the separation that had to happen. And also saying, you know, I have had the gift from God above of being your mom, and I treasure that. And repeating that over and over, and just voicing to your child your trust in God's sovereignty, His providence, His kindness in uniting you to your child, and the treasure that that child is. And again, holding both of those things in both hands, and speaking what is true, not exaggerating, not lying, but also not keeping things secret or shameful, and also speaking in a way that's age appropriate, of course, you know, and sharing things at the right milestones. And I think it takes a village to do this well. I strongly encourage, I think it's just probably imperative, that families pursue counseling and pursue that through, you know, Christian counselors who are trauma informed, who are adoption informed, so that they are speaking in a healthy way to that whole triad. I think counseling is just crucial for adoptive parents, as well as adopted kids and biological kids. Everybody's got things to sort through and work through. So I would say, you know, one way of holding both of those things in one hand is to pursue counseling. It's to have friends in your community who are also trauma-informed and adoption-informed, and who aren't going to say those really damaging sentences that mean well, but leave a mark for a lifetime. And this is a process that is lifelong, because every milestone, every birthday, every holiday, every developmental phase for your child is a reminder that they have lost their first mom and their culture and their first family. And so it's not something that we can sort of heal from and move on. It's something that we have to process for a lifetime. So I think, yeah, for the adoptive mom out there, build a community who knows these things and seek their friendship, Make sure your child has relationships with those people who have this knowledge and this understanding, and who will honor first moms and first families, as well as adoptive and forever families.
I'm glad that you're talking openly about this and just sharing some really practical things that we hope will help and serve, adoptive moms in our community. And I know at the end there, you're kind of shifting the conversation towards the adoptee and some of the unique griefs that they experience, not just one time, but over the course of a lifetime. Is there anything else you would want to add to that of, what are some of the griefs that adoptees might experience? And then what does it look like for a mom to come alongside them in those sorrows?
We are so saturated in a culture that just does not talk about these things. I know you guys have spoken before about the fact that we don't lament well as a people, we don't grieve well as a people. And I think that is amplified in this particular conversation because we also really celebrate only the happy side of adoption. And so we're just, as a people, we're just ill-equipped to do this. So the adoptive parents have a arduous journey ahead of them to get prepared. And I count adoption as one of the most precious gifts in our lives. I cannot fathom not having had this gift. And I would do it a million times over. Our daughter is precious to us. At the same time, I want the prospective adoptive families to know you're going into something that's not a fairy tale. You're not going into a fantasy. You're not walking into happily ever after. And you will be the greatest source of healing for your child if you're willing. You can be a source of, continued grief and continued trauma if you're not ready. So it's important that you prepare yourself. I think one of the best ways to do that is by centering the voice of the adoptee. There are beautiful memoirs and podcasts and tools available where adoptees' voices are being centered more and more. And I'm so thankful and cannot recommend that enough. A lot of them are hard to listen to at times. Some of them are not Christians, so they miss the focus of the gospel and the redemption of God and the reconciliation that he is doing. But they are nonetheless the voice of adoptees, and I think they're really valuable. As hard as they can be to listen to, I think it's important to hear unflinchingly what adult adoptees have to say, sort of looking back on what was good, what was hard. Because, as I've said, this grief will last a lifetime and it resurfaces frequently. And, as our daughter has grown and become a mom herself, that's a whole new wave of processing for her. What she endured as a child now, and she's raising her own children from that perspective. So I think it's just key that adoptive parents be ready for that, be educated. Many agencies, I would say, find a very good agency because they do require trauma training. And I think that's so important. Pursue those books and those podcasts and the community, the adoption community, where it's not all, sunshine, but people are real about what is hard as well as beautiful and redemptive. We can do this and we must do this. Adoption is a beautiful and holy calling. I just also want to impress upon the listener that it is hard and you've got to be ready to be a tool of healing rather than a tool of accidental, even subconscious, unintentional, continued harm. So it can be done. And I know so many godly, beautiful, wise adoptive parents who I seek their wisdom all the time, and they're doing it well. My daughter is thriving because of God's good hand in her life. And I can talk openly with her about these things. Like, that's coming, that is coming in the future. But there are years of just work as a family to put in.
Thank you for sharing that with us. And it is encouraging just to hear that no matter how hard it is still worth it and it's still possible. And we know that as believers, that the gospel is just a huge aid in that. And it's something, as you noted, gives us an entirely different perspective than those who do not know the Lord. And so can you help us just understand and get a grasp on how the gospel has given you a deeper understanding and appreciation of adoption and how that helps you even in your griefs?
Yes, as believers, we know that our Father's heart is for the fatherless, and we know that adoption is His plan. It's His idea. I mean, His will is that no child would be without a mom and a dad. He's the one who designed families, and He's the one who welcomes us in, going so far as to have endured death on a cross to make us His own. And in our adoption journey, I have so chewed on those truths daily, just meditated on them, and even obsessed over the goodness of my Father in heaven and the lengths that He has gone to make me His daughter, and to just provide healing and unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness and mercy in my life. So it's important that all that we do as believers, and especially as adoptive parents, is couched in the gospel. This is key. And there were definitely, you know, verses throughout scripture about adoption that really fueled us while we were waiting, that fueled us in some of the harder days of parenting. Absolutely gird yourself up with the gospel and the goodness of your Father. One thing I would say that may feel a little bit jarring is, in the church, we love that metaphor, you know, God has adopted us, so then we adopt the fatherless. And it's a good metaphor, but it does fall short. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that. We adoptive parents are not God. We are not good like Him. We are not omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign, and able like He is. We also are not a savior. And I think, just being really gut level honest, the conversations I have with other adoptive families is, whether it's conscious or not, and I think it's subconscious in pretty pervasive ways, we go into adoption wanting to rescue and save. And some of that is really good, and some of that comes directly from God. But what is true is that we won't be able to do that because we are fallen and we are finite. We are not the savior, and we are not like God in so many ways. So it's important to just realize that. You know, I mean, you have to do that as a mom, right? You guys talk about this all the time. You have to come to the end of yourself and realize, I am not God. I am not enough, but He is. And He is there for me and my children. And so I feel like it's worth, like, just repeating and even adding exclamation points for the adoptive parent, because you are in this weird, unique situation where you do go in and rescue. You do go in and reconcile a child and bring them home and make them your own. And they, you know, inherit all that you have. And it is a picture of the gospel. But where it falls short is in the reality that will confront you about 5 seconds into your being an adoptive parent, that you are not good like God, and that you don't have the immeasurable patience and mercy and goodness that He has. So what has comforted me, and you guys speak to this so well, is not depending on my perfection as an adoptive mom, just acknowledging from the get-go, I am going to screw this up, and acknowledging that to my kids, and saying, I'm sorry, and looking back on dumb things that I said or sinful posture of my heart, and just apologizing and repenting, and then asking for forgiveness and trusting God in heaven to meet my child, not only for the losses she endured in her first family, but the losses she's enduring now in her forever family, and the ways that I have painted a bad picture of who God is. And just trusting that the Lord will meet me when I fall short, and He will meet her when I fall short, and that He is enough. So I think that just the gospel is a picture of adoption. And at the same time, we are not God, but let us turn to God. Let us rely on Him and encourage our children to do the same.
It's so rich. And I think sometimes, you know, it can feel trite because we just say over and over, Christians just say over and over again to one another the thing that we should say, right? Jesus is better. Jesus is the only savior. Only God is enough. And yet those are the answers and the truths that we need to remember over and over and over again, you know, regardless of what we're facing and experiencing in motherhood as Christians. That is our aim, right? To look to Christ and to point our children to Christ, because like you said, we will fail them we will fall short no matter what circumstances we have or whether someone is an adoptive mom or not. And so I love that we can all be united around that and say, yeah, we're all pointing to the Savior. He's our only hope. Praise him that he doesn't put the hope within us. And that just gives him all the more glory. So grateful for that word. And is there any final encouragement that you would give to a mom who is perhaps in the adoption process or she's already adoptive mom and she is struggling with grief?
Yes, I would love to speak to her. I wish I could have coffee with her and just come alongside her as a mom who's been in this for over 13 years now. I would say, you know, again, as we have said a few times already, adoption is worthwhile. It is important that children have moms and dads, and it is good for children without homes to be brought into homes. So don't second guess the goodness of this call. It is in alignment with God's heart. But do respond to that call in healthy ways with a community that can confirm that calling in your life, with the support of people around you saying, yes, I think your marriage can handle it. You're ready for it. You have a faith family. You have the support that you need. You know, don't go into it blindly or thinking that love is all you need, because that's just not true. Go into it prepared with just an army of support and ready to respond to what's going to happen in your family as it changes as a result of adoption. My encouragement and even exhortation, and I say this to myself first and foremost, is to be healthy and whole and ready. Truly, your relationship with your kids will be the strongest tool in the hands of God to heal their trauma. And so it's imperative that you are ready to respond to them with unconditional love and unwavering stability. Children who've gone through trauma, and I know we are friends with so many adoptive families internationally, as well as foster care and domestically. Kids who endure that any kind of trauma present behaviors and needs that are not typical and that we are not generally ready for. And so if we take things personally, or if we respond emotionally, or if we have some sort of debt of like need or love or affirmation that we want our adoptive kids to fill, we will place on them expectations and requirements that they cannot bear. And so for adoptive moms, my encouragement would be go to counseling, be in an adoptive community, have strong, mature Christian friends who have infused the gospel into every crevice and corner of your life, and who will help you be firm in your foundation in the Lord, know who you are in Jesus, and be able to just be filled by the Spirit and a conduit for the Spirit to your children. I think that adoptive moms do need to grieve a lot of losses. You know, there's a lot of expectation for what it's going to be like. There's a lot of just a fantasy out there for what's ahead. And that's true for motherhood in general. And I think it's kind of on steroids for adoptive motherhood. So there is grief, you know, grieve what you've lost or thought you would have that you're not going to have. Grieve what your child has lost and continues to lose every year, every milestone. But then cling to the cross and remember that our God is absolutely able to heal. And when you're tempted to not believe that, cling to the cross again and call your friends and get your community around you to remind you of the strength and victory that we have in Christ, and that resurrection power is available to us as moms. And you can do this by him, for him, through him, to him. You can do this with Jesus. You can't do it without him though. And so don't try. So I think my final encouragement to that mom is just twofold. Is one, be ready, because it's hard. Rejoice in it. It's good and it's worth celebrating. Be ready to celebrate and be ready to work hard and just call on the Lord your God in the good and the bad. He is sovereign and good, and he does bring healing. He is reconciling all things by the blood of his cross, and don't believe otherwise.
Mm. My name is Annie Perez, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because no matter what I'm going through in the mundane tasks of every single day, I am reminded by an article or a post or even listening to the podcast that everything that we do has a purpose, and it points us back to Jesus.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.